Views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Things that otherwise we would not learn ever without Harry Cooper's work and his wonderful group of informants, we'll call them, or historical researchers, etc. We would not know so much about World War II and what happened after it primarily. And this whole issue is still intriguing about the 1952 UFO overflights over Washington, D.C. A group, it must have been 20, 25 of them. It is said by many people that that wasn't an ET flyover. Those were Germans who came from the South Pole in their craft. And the same group that basically kicked Admiral Byrd's tail feathers so badly that that whole battle fleet, the biggest battle fleet assembled since World War II, had to get the hell out of the Antarctica. And they did. So is it true? It certainly could be. We also know, thanks to Harry, that we have in place long-term, highest-level agreements with what's left, apparently, of the Third Reich and Fourth Reich now. But we have agreements, and that's why U.S. presidents and once that that creepy John Kerry went down to sign it and extend it. It has to be renewed. That's why they go down to Patagonia, to Bariloche, out in the middle of nowhere, and relatively speaking, and they don't go down there to vacation. They go down there on business. There's a lot going on here. We've learned so much from Admiral Cooper. We're very blessed, and he's back tonight. He's going to abuse us some more with reality. Most people don't like reality. They hate it. No, we like it. Welcome back, sir.
Good evening. Good evening. If I'm going to abuse you with my commentary, I am not William Keane, and this is not Wednesday. You might want to flog Norberto to get your roster set up. How are you out there?
I sent that long ago. I'm still alive. When I say abuse, that's another way of expressing sadomasochistic pleasure at learning the reality of a past that has been hidden from us, covered up, obscured, otherwise deformed and desecrated by the international Zionist Bolsheviks who run this planet.
Okay, your words. I'm just listening.
I only speak for myself. I would never speak for Admiral Cooper. So, all right, here's the deal. Volume 5 of Hidden History of World War II.
Hidden Secrets.
It's Hidden Secrets, same thing. Is available now, and you can order it.
Yep.
And
yep.
I hope all of you out there who have any time at all will get these books. This is an extremely important series of books. 5 volumes. How many more do you think?
Jeff, I got so much stuff in the can, as they call it. The only thing that that's governing how fast we can get them out is how fast I can get them organized. And so I'm I'm cranking on that, except this week got broken up a little bit. I was on with Omega Man Radio yesterday, and Shannon Davis says a hearty hello to you, and he gave a great plug for tonight's show, and
very
now
nice,
your show,
you.
And then I don't have to prepare for shows for another month, roughly. So now I'm getting back onto the, I'm about halfway through with volume number 6. And even I am surprising. I've been doing this 40 years, and I'm surprising myself at the stuff that I'm reading again, which I haven't read for 25 years, how incredibly involved South America was in World War II, especially Argentina. In World War II and afterwards.
Got it. No, it's a huge hidden history.
Yeah.
These are not just secrets. It's an entire history. And I can't imagine where we'd be without the work that you and your SIEG agents have done. I really can't. How would we know this stuff?
Those guys, those SIEG agents, God bless them. Some of them have died suspiciously. They dig and they get stuff nobody else can get, and they send it all to me. They've done this over the 40 years, and we've got it all in the can, as they say, and now we're bringing it out.
It's not as if it's going to change the world, but it's giving us our God-given rights to know what happened, at least get a much better handle on what happened, because what happened, there's very little resemblance to the stories we're being fed by the Zionist Bolshevik regime running this planet right now. And that extends all the way down to the lowest levels of education, finance, entertainment, politics, military, and geopolitics worldwide. It's everywhere. They have extended control. I must say, and I've said this before, I have to tip my hat to them, because what they've done with 0.3% of the world population is astonishing. And yet they've done it. No other group has done it. That's
fair. I'm listening to what you've discovered here.
Yeah.
That's in a different area.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. It's fair. Any group, Buddhists, I don't care, that have done this, but 0.3% taken over the whole damn planet? Wow. That's something.
Too bad the Republicans can't work together like that to take this country back.
Organized,
but then again, that's
politics.
My own political commentary and has nothing to do with Jeff and the show.
Organized politics is a freak show. It's a joke. It's kind of like organized religion. It's just diversion.
Or organized crime.
Same.
I'm just waiting to see my pictures come up so we can talk about them.
He hasn't done that yet, huh? Well, let me see. Hold on.
How do you say declaration of war in Portuguese?
Yeah, they were sent an hour ago.
Yep.
I'll send them again.
Okay. Tell them, hey, wake up, buddy.
Yeah. Urgent.
Reminds me of my former secretary or IT person, Tiffany. Did a super job. Wonderful.
Tiffany.
Excellent work, but you could never get a hold of her, and she was always late, a lot like Norberto.
Well, Norberto wasn't working with a mattress tied to his back either. Let's see here.
Anyhow, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you like to play?
Yeah. Well, we had a nice booth to sit and watch it, so it was fine.
Until that guy broke in the back door and ruined it.
Right. Okay. I just sent this to him again. And the reason for the holdup, dear friends, is that we have photos, lots of them, and without the link there, we can't do much.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was going to give a shout-out to my new writer's club. The club's not new, but I'm a new member. The Citrus County Writers Club, and also fellow I'm working with named Decker. Decker, I'm behind a little bit, but as soon as I'm done with the radio shows, which will be tomorrow, I can start. I'll get on your project.
Well, very good. Thank you. That'll be fun. I did hear from our friend in Argentina about Senor Torres, etc.
Oh, jeez.
There's a lot of flaky stuff going on. I don't know how to read it, but you listening, sorry, I can't bring you in any more than that. But anyhow, nothing is easy in life anymore. You've got to work for things. What are you in a writer's club for? You're a great writer. What are you doing in a writer's club? That's kind of interesting.
Well, maybe I can help some other people. One nice lady there asked me to read over her novel and make comments.
Oh, yeah, like you have spare time?
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. I know. It's been a week ago, and I've only read the first paragraph. But, hey, I'm getting up earlier. Yesterday, I got up at 3. I couldn't get back to sleep, so I was working right away. Worked all day long, and then I was on the radio for 2 hours and worked all the way up until late. Mm-hmm. And then this morning, I was up before 4. You know, if I'm not doing it, it ain't going to get done.
You're usually up. I'm still working, so I haven't.
Yeah, that's right. We overlap. But then again, you're 2 or 3 time zones away from me.
Yeah, I'm up. I was up till 4-something again last night.
Yeah.
And that's not a lot of fun because I get up about 8:30. So that gives me what? Not a lot of sleep.
Anyway. Yeah, but, well, of course, I don't know your age, doesn't matter. But the older you get, I've read somewhere, the older you get, the less sleep you need.
Well, that's good to hear.
So, yeah, I wind up conking out in the middle of the day. I have lunch, and I turn on Cheaters. You know, the TV show where Joey Greco surprises people who are cheating on their significant other and exposes them to the world. People get into fist fights. Joey Greco got stabbed once, and one of his troops got shot once. And
you watch TV, and you watch programs like that?
For 1 hour. Then in the evening, I watched The Five, because this guy, Greg Gutfeld, now, you know, I'm a very intelligent guy, and I'm not bragging. That's just the way God made me.
Right.
This guy is way more intelligent than me, and I'm just loving watching him chew up the liberals he gets on the program.
What is The Five? I'm sorry, I don't know The Five. What is
The Five? It's a commentary show on Fox, and it comes on at 5 o'clock here. I don't know how they would
Is it The Five battle axes?
No. You're thinking of The View.
Oh, okay.
Them wacky broads. No, this is Greg Gutfeld, Judge Jeanine, Dana Perino, et cetera, et cetera.
So it's just called The Five. I don't know. I don't follow mainstream media too much. I mean, I see pieces of it, but I don't watch
it. And Mazar Tovarich. They used to have Geraldo on as the token left-winger, but he and Gutfeld got into so many scraps. One time looked like they were going to get out of their chairs and start flinging fists, but Gutfeld got Geraldo fired. And the first time I ever saw the show was years and years ago. Greg Gutfeld was reading an email he got, and some guy said, sent it to Gutfeld, and the guy emailed and said, "You damn Jews are ruining this, that, and the other thing." And Gutfeld looked at the camera and he says, "I'm a practicing Roman Catholic." So, you know, it's Gutfeld, not Gutfield, but it's just a really good, it's just the opposite of The View.
Hmm.
Done with some sense. I think Norberto must have gone out to wrangle cattle.
I don't know what's happened. I've sent it to him now 3 times, and we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I can. I didn't even see. I don't have a confirmation URL I could read to people and they could at least type it in. So if I get that, something, I hope nothing's wrong. Anyway, we'll see. So, okay. How much more, in seriously, now I ask you this in a roundabout way, but I'm going to get right. more specific. How much more down there is there to be presented and learned about? Now, we just, in the last, what, year or two, couple years, found mm-hmm. out that hidden estancia, where we think the pilot of the big junkers spent the rest of his life.
Right. And his initials were R.S.
Yes.
And yeah, but unfortunately, because of the Kung Flu scamdemic, we yeah. weren't able to get down there. And
right.
now, from what I understand, the next of kin have taken it over to prevent looters, which is
too
fine.
Late. Too late.
But according to Martin, they won't allow any visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not there to take souvenirs or anything. You know, I never take anything except photos and video. But anything that's there, we don't even touch it because if you mess with it, you ruin the environment of the historic whatever.
Well, the whole provenance goes out the window, too, when you start messing
with exactly. things. So we film it, and I've got this really great drone that Shannon Davis sent me mm-hmm. for me to use down there in Argentina. And just when I got it, the damn Kung Flu scamdemic mm-hmm. hit, and we couldn't go anywhere. So
mm-hmm.
I'm getting pretty good at it. I'm able to fly over the neighborhood drug dealer and film what's going on in his backyard, but mm-hmm. I don't think that's what he sent this thing to me for.
Well, the places that you and your work have taken all of us, and that particular very interesting hotel, we'll call it a hotel, out in the middle of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
With Mengele's room that you identified, where he always
oh,
stayed.
Oh, yeah, that's in Paraguay.
They had southern, east, southeastern, whatever. Anyway, they have obviously a tremendous history there. And that,
yeah.
I don't know if that waitress is still there or not, but that would be one that I would say.
Yeah, she was well up in age when I was there mm-hmm. A few years ago with right. my friends, the doctors.
Well, that's the picture that would, now when we get to my project, your project, not mine, of this book, there's that one particular drawing in there of that place.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
Oh, you betcha. In
and
that
who is coming out
book.
The door, and who was coming out the door that she was ecstatic to see, and who was basically walking very quickly toward her to give her a hug?
Mm-hmm. Holding.
So who was that? Was that her daddy?
I'm not sure. I think it was Uncle Adi, but I'm not sure. I'd have to go back into the book again. I've just reestablished communications with the two doctors that have all that stuff. They befriended her. She was
responded. Good.
Yeah, they finally I called him. I called him at his office. He's an eye surgeon, and I called him at his office, and a poor receptionist, she couldn't understand me because they speak Portuguese. I've only got one word in Portuguese, obrigado. Thank you. So I finally got him, and, oh, Harry, I'm working right now, but call me later. So I called him later. We talked for quite a while. They're ready to take me to more places down there, but I want to make more expeditious use of my time. I'm waiting to get some approval from a couple Argentine admirals. The one thing, when I was there in 2008, they showed me several storage boxes full of documents that came off of the German submarines U-530 and U-977, even though history says there was no paperwork of any kind on these submarines, that had all that stuff had been pitched overboard before they surrendered.
Right.
Obviously not, because there were several boxes. And in 2008, they told me I could come back anytime and photocopy all these documents. I said, okay, fine. I put it on the back burner. And so I want to come down there now and spend a day or 2 days, whatever it takes, photocopying all these old documents. And the other one, when they discovered those two Type 21 German U-boats in the Golfo Nuevo, and the U.S. Navy sent down people to help the Argentine Navy sink them and failed. I was in the Air Force at the time, and we were just laughing, inter-service rivalry. Ah, the great U.S. Navy couldn't catch these old World War II German U-boats, and this was in 1960. And
who was still running the boats, do we think?
Well, not sure yet. I want to get down there and look at those papers. When I get the green light from these two admirals, and I've got a good friend down there who just retired from the Argentine Navy as a commander, I think was his level. He's trying to build a fire under these admirals to tell me yes. But there's another situation. There's a fella down there who doesn't like me, probably with good reason, but...
Probably not.
He was the very first to find out that Hitler was living in San Carlos de Bariloche, or nearby. And he really researched it and did a great job. And I came down, met with him, and I suggested we work together to get this out, because he was boots on the ground, and Shark Hunters has international coverage, 77 countries, I think it is. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, he got mad. Well, the following year, I came down with a group of 10 people, and we went to dinner at a very nice little restaurant there in Bariloche, and one of the people who lived in Bariloche was the son of Erich Priebke, the SS Hauptsturmfuhrer, who was one of Hitler's personal guards.
Right.
I invited him as my guest. He came. I invited this other fella, Basti, to come as my guest.
Abel
Basti, yep. Or pronounced Abel down there. And he wanted $700 U.S. cash just to come and have a free dinner with him. So I explained to him, I said, hey, there ain't nobody who's a prima donna. When Otto Kretschmer, Erich Topp, Hardegen, Hess, all these guys came to the United States in various times, they paid their own way here just to be with us. Well, this guy lived about 2 miles from where we were having dinner, and he wanted $700 to show up. So I told him, I explained, no, there's no heroes here. You're coming as my guest. No, he still wanted $700. So I told him, kiss my ass and go to McDonald's for dinner. Maybe that's why he got a little miffed. However, he has found what he thinks is a German U-boat. Scuttled. And we know there is at least one that was scuttled. That's the one that... Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco rode over from, what the heck was the name? Just upriver from Vigo, Spain. So he rode all the way down to a little town called Puerto Coig, almost as far south as you can go in Patagonia, and went ashore with an escaping high-ranked guy from the Third Reich. And the skipper said they were going to go up almost to Buenos Aires and scuttle the boat. So Basti has found something, and I have my opinion, which I'll be happy to answer.
This is not out in the open sea. This is in one of those inland waterways.
No. This one is about it's 4 kilometers out to sea.
So it's straight out, okay.
Yeah, from Neocochi, I can't pronounce it, but...
Didn't we have two, Harry, excuse me, didn't we have two suspects or one suspect in an inland kind of a finger?
right,
bay,
in Collecta de los Loros. That's in Golfo San Matias.
Right.
Everybody knows, well, not everybody, but lots of people know where it's at. It's in very shallow water, but when they go there, they can't find it. Nobody seems to understand, know why. But anyhow, this one, he come up with this sunken whatever, and first off, it was 200 and something feet long, then it was 300 feet long, and Germany never had any 300-foot long submarines.
Right.
And so I volunteered to fly down there on my own dime, not asking for anything, and nobody, and I'm not patting myself on the back, it's just fact, nobody knows German U-boats better than I do. I've been doing this 40 years, full-time, not as a hobby. So I said I'd come down there, dive his wreck, and I would tell him exactly what it was, and if it was a U-boat, I know how to find out which boat it was.
Right.
Not from the numbers painted on a conning tower. That's an old wives' tale, because once the war started, they didn't have numbers. But I know where to find the identifier. He never even answered me. So what does he do? He contacts some guy in Italy who's a diver, came over and dived it. And the Italian guy says, well, he's not sure, but he thinks it's a submarine. Then he gets, then this guy, Basti, he gets the Seaman Wiesenthal Center involved.
Oh, very smart.
They,
very smart. Very
they
smart.
Know as much about German U-boats as I do about brain surgery. I don't know what the hell. So then he stirs up the water, and now Germany has said we don't want anything to do with it. Argentina has pretty well, the Argentine government has pretty well shut the door on him. They won't talk to him. So he's muddied the waters. And I think maybe that's why I'm not getting much of an answer from the Argentine admirals. But I'm gonna call tomorrow. I have no Spanish whatsoever, so I hope to God whoever answers the phone down there can speak English. And just plead my case. So if I get the green light from these two Argentine admirals, I've already got basic plans laid out with the two doctors for Paraguay to track.
Good. You're going to go back to the hotel? You're going to go back to the hotel?
Oh, yeah, of course we are. That is, it's such a magnificent, huge, beautiful place in the middle of nowhere. You wonder, why would anybody build a place like this out in the middle of nowhere?
Please be sure you get really good video of the grounds.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that now. I've been remiss at doing videos, and I'll bring my my drone with me to get some overhead shots, and that's a place that's surrounded on three sides by dense jungle. And when the Mossad came to grab Mengele, whose picture is on this photo array, if it ever pops up, Mengele had sort of a, not a headquarters, but a place where he stayed when he was in that area, room 28. If he had people with him, bodyguards and stuff, room 26 if he was alone. And shortly after the Mossad kidnapped Eichmann, I guess maybe, I don't know, but they were probably...
Oh, he just wrote.
Yeah.
He came back to consciousness and has written, so let's reload the guests page. Aha!
Okay.
He managed to do it. All right. Okay. So.
Wait, there I am, Harry Cooper. Shit fire.
There we go. All right. Please go to guests on the. Take that little banner on the left side of Rents.com and click on tonight's guests, and you'll see Harry. And then he. Jeez. Photos. See photos? Let's click on that. All right, everyone, we're loading them up. Okay, but interesting background. If that, how can somebody dive a U-boat and not know if it's a submarine? Can you answer that? If it was scuttled and not blown to pieces by bombs, you scuttle it?
It was scuttled, that's for sure. It was not blown
how
up.
Can you, how can you not know if it's a
I would think even a novice should be able to tell it's a submarine.
Well, of course.
And our friend Lawrence DeMello is working with Abel, and she signed a non-disclosure agreement, right. So she can't tell me anything. And I guess she's finally stuck in the middle between the two of us because she's telling me to back off and don't be so mean about it with Basti. But until I know what's there, I can't very well confirm it. And unless
don't
I
be
put
so
eyeballs
mean about
on it,
it. Come on.
Huh? Well,
don't be so mean about it. This is, come on, Lawrence. Jeez, after what Basti did with that hijack for $750 or whatever it was, that's obscene.
$700, yeah. He wanted $700 to come have dinner, to come for a free dinner.
No. That's
nobody pays me to have dinner.
No, that's off the table. Sorry.
Yeah.
That didn't work. No.
So,
all right.
Well, I'll take it back. There was a fellow out in California, good guy, wanted me to give a speech, a presentation on Hitler's escape. So he flew me out there, and I made a presentation in front of a bunch of his friends, and he gave me a very nice check and sent me back home first class, putting me up in a very nice place. So, but I was there to make a presentation. Basti was there to eat free. So...
I don't know. His ego got the best of him, at least in that particular circumstance. I don't want to pass judgment on anyone, but that was a big blunder, and he does owe you a gentleman's apology. Come on.
I've reached out to him a couple of times and said, hey, let's put our differences behind us and work together to bring this history
Lawrence
out. I'm not looking for any money.
No,
Jesus,
no.
I just had to write another check out of my retirement this month for $2,000 into Shark Hunters. We're not going to go belly up, and I can handle writing the checks, but I'd rather play with my own money and let Shark Hunters run itself again like it did before Obama came in. But that's another story, so I'm not here for the money.
Lawrence needs to take care of this with Basti, and if she can't take care of it with him, then he really has a problem. She's a very classy person. And
she is. She is a classy lady without question.
Yeah. No, I know.
Very nice lady. And whenever I go down there to Argentina, my last about 4 or 5 days I spend out at her place, I get the pool house, which is a very large place. The upstairs bedroom. It's a loft. That's what it is. She's got her house, and I stay in there. She takes good care of me. She's a very nice lady, very smart, great researcher. But like I say, I think she's stuck between a rock and a hard place. But we all have our cross to bear.
Well, she was thinking of moving, from what I'm told, she was thinking of moving here once upon a time.
There's a lot going on you and I can talk about off
air. Oh, I have an idea. Okay. Let's, dear friends, as we've just done a wonderful prelude to this.
Half an hour long. Way to go, Norberto.
Right. Let's go. Picture number one. All right, everyone.
Number one. This is the book in question. Volume 5 of Hidden Secrets of World War II. Volume 5. And at the top photo, you'll notice the Eden Hotel, which is incredible history down there. We have pictures of Hitler in the annex having tea with the Eichhorn family.
1947, two years after he's dead. He looks pretty good for a dead man.
He looks very good for a dead guy. I hope I look that good when I'm 2 years after my death. And he ain't like Weekend at Bernie's. He was alive. And we're just now finding that when Germany surrendered, all sorts of Japanese from Buenos Aires were getting shipped out to the Eden Hotel. That's in my magazine. You get it. You've gotten that copy already.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Japanese...
That's very interesting. The Japanese were all over the world, too. They had their agents everywhere.
Exactly. So they moved them all to the Eden Hotel to get them far away from anything, because... Hotel is in La Falda, which is about 400 miles northwest of Buenos Aires. So
that hotel should be completely refurbished, restored as a national landmark for Argentina.
Unfortunately, Argentina doesn't have
I know.
Enough money
Nobody
for a
has
bucket
money
of paint.
Anymore.
109% inflation. Those poor people are catching hell. It's a beautiful country. I love Argentina. And Buenos Aires is the Paris of the South. But, boy, they are broke. When I first
It might as well be a European country located next to Spain. That's how close it was all tied in many ways. Yeah. It was Europe South.
So, yeah. So if any of our listeners would like the current issue of the magazine, I'll send it to you, no charge, of course, electronically, email. Just send me an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. Say you heard the show, and I'll send you the current issue of the magazine at no charge. So the top picture there is the Eden Hotel. Einstein stayed there. Crown Prince of Germany stayed there. All sorts of important people stayed there long before World War II. The bottom picture is Inalco. When it looked good.
That's the black and white drawing. And then below that is the color picture of the house.
That
was kind of an architect's elevation.
Is schematic. Or elevation, or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Photo two.
Those are two world-class landmarks that...
If there was
a smart corporation somewhere, and they would buy both of those and restore them, they'd make a fortune.
Yep.
Fortune.
You betcha.
Well,
beautiful.
Do we know
places.
If Inalco has the escrow closed on the sale of it? Do we know?
Last I heard, it's still hanging.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, buy those lottery tickets and maybe we can.
Yeah, I think it's going for like 28. $30 million U.S. dollars for Inalco.
It's a beautiful home. I'd move there in a heartbeat. It'd be a great
place
to live.
And the land, there's hundreds and hundreds of acres plus 5 kilometers of beautiful shoreline.
1,700 acres.
You'll see a picture of that shoreline further on.
Yeah. Do you know there's a, speaking of drones, there is on YouTube a drone overflight of the entire Inalco estate.
Yeah, right. I've seen it.
You've seen it? Yeah, I sent it to you a long time ago.
Right.
It's very nice, very nicely done, and you can see. What you see at the top of the picture when you look at this video is a four-lane highway, whatever. It's a big highway.
No, it's two-lane.
Two lanes,
right,
one lane each way.
Smack past the farm part.
Yeah. Yep. So that back in the day was inaccessible. You could not get there unless you were on a float plane or you had a boat. And you had permission. Because if you didn't have permission...
They only put through Highway 40 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah. If you didn't have permission to go back there, it would be a one-way trip for you. Okay?
You'd be
dead or detained one way or the other if you were even allowed to get near it. It was very heavily guarded, 24/7.
Right, when Uncle Addie was living there, you betcha.
You know, I said something else to you, I think, I don't know, last time we talked. He may have lived there longer than any other place in his life than when he was a child.
Could be.
10 years.
Don't know. I haven't done that.
I don't think he
analysis.
Lived 10 years in the Berghof.
The Berghof was basically kind of a vacation home because he had been Haus Wachenfeld, and he used to come there and rent it. And, hello, Bob Morrison. Just got an email from one of your listeners.
Oh.
I'll be sending the magazine, Bob. Where were we? I lost my train of thought.
Wachenfeld.
Wachenfeld, yeah, he used to rent that, and then when he rose to power, he liked it so much, he bought it. And then Bormann, who was the power behind the throne, he had a house built, and then Goering had a house built all within, less than a kilometer of each other up there on the Obersalzberg. And so mm-hmm. Bormann bought, stole, seized, whatever, the entire top of the mountain. And it was a Reichssicherheitszone, a Reich security zone. And there you couldn't even get up from the town. You had to cross this fast-running creek on a bridge, and there was a guard post there with a machine gun. And if you didn't have a pass, you didn't come up. And if you had a pass, you went way up the mountain, and you got stopped at another gate way up near the Berghof. And now the security place down at the bottom is still there, but it's closed up. Nothing's in it.
Right. But it's still there.
When you get almost to the
station.
Hmm?
Yeah, I've seen pictures. Fascinating.
Right. And when you get to almost to the Hotel Zum Turken, now only the foundation of the guard shack is still there. But people on the mountain only ate the food that they produced in their own controlled farms and dairy farms there. The same down at Inalka. They had this big farm about 500 meters from the estate house, and they raised cattle. They also raised Great Danes for guard dogs. They raised pigs, chickens, and they also had some racehorses. But unfortunately, that is the Highway 40 goes right smack past it. From the highway to the first big barn is only about not even 150 feet. So vandals are coming in and out, and that's sad. It's history, and it's going to hell. If only I was born rich instead of good-looking, right?
Yeah. Funniest thing how the Fernandez Security Company is not doing the best job in the world.
No, they put up their little signs that say stay out, and then they collect the money from the estate, and that's it. Yeah. Armed guards would be a good idea.
The chief guard, Mr. Torres, refuses to expand security operations.
Yeah, he's not much of a guard. He doesn't even live on a property. There's that old man that lives on the property who does the work. He's got two oxen. Or steers, that's what they are, two big steers. One of them's God, that thing's huge, and he does all the heavy work with the steers. But that's it, there's no security. Bring back them Great Danes, that'll get your attention.
Yeah.
But
well,
it costs money.
I know, but the boat skipper shouldn't cost us money. That guy should tell his story. There's another guy who won't tell his story either.
I hear you.
Anyway, we'll get there. All right, more pictures. Let's look at picture number two. It's like going through door number two. Door number two. This is an X-rated photo of Harry Cooper and one of the Vestal Virgins that you'll meet right on the trip if you go down there.
Yeah, whenever I go to a new place, I like to get in with the locals. Now, this is in the, I think this is San Telmo area or Las Bocas. I can't remember which, but pretty girls like this all over the place. They're not hookers. They're there to take pictures with them. That picture
just aren't ornaments, just street
it's
ornaments.
Like you'll notice her feet are not even on the ground. Her left leg is still up in the air, too.
Yeah.
So
a girl like that, her feet rarely touch the ground anyway, Harry.
Okay.
You got to think about that one a little bit. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. That's race car humor. That's just old stuff.
Buenos Aires is a magical place. You know, there's districts like this. There are districts where it's ultra high buck. Then there are slum areas too, like any big city. It's a beautiful city. I really like it. And unfortunately for them, right now your Yankee dollar just goes forever down there because the inflation is 109%. How the hell can you live?
It's like any of the great European capital cities, with a few exceptions. I mean, come on. What, Madrid? I think, arguably, Buenos Aires is just as nice as Madrid, wouldn't you think?
I've never been to Madrid.
It doesn't
have
the history, perhaps, but...
Well, the history we seek is a lot more in South America than it would be in Madrid.
Right.
So, because the Third Reich was already well established in South America before World War II started. And when the war ended, the Third Reich did not evaporate. They merely moved to South America, 10 or 20,000 at least. And I don't know if there's a Fourth Reich. I know, what's his name, Dr. Joe Farrell postulates that there was a Fourth Reich. I don't know if that's quite true or not. I think it's just the Third Reich. Martin Bormann took all sorts of billions of dollars worth of stuff and was paying money to Perón to protect everybody. And he also founded 760 corporations, most of which are still in operation today. Grundig is one of them.
Grundig was a Bormann corporation.
That's what our friend... Der Spion tells me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Grundig radio. I have a Grundig radio.
I used to have one, and boy, the sound is just incredible out of those things.
Yep. Beautiful. All right. Let's go through door number three. Admiral Cooper. What do we have?
That is a desk. Louis the 14th desk.
Would have been my first guess. A desk.
Say again?
I would have been hard-pressed to come up with any other guess but a desk. It's kind of like a roll top, but that's one piece. It doesn't have a bunch of segments to it like an American
oak. Right, it looks like it just rolls back.
Yeah.
Yeah. A person we know down there bought a house some years ago and was refurbishing it, and he bought this... Louis the 14th desk, and was cleaning it up. Now switch to number four. So photo number four. He found a hidden compartment.
Uh-huh.
And this is a diary of an SS officer hidden in that.
Huh.
I think the SS officer in question is Priebke, because this SS officer who wrote the diary is also with the rank of Hauptsturmführer.
Uh-huh.
Which was Priebke's rank, and we know Priebke was one of Hitler's personal bodyguards down there in Vischia Langostura, San Carlos de Bariloche, in that area.
We're going to assume that the diary covered the European years and the South American years, and that should be translated. Who owns that diary now? Do we know?
Yeah, I have a translation.
Oh, you do?
I got copies of it, and Martin Fernandez translated it all for us. So, Martin, if you're listening, thank you much, pal.
Thank you, Martin.
This is not so much the European part of it, just the last little bits on how this guy was tasked. I think it was by Himmler, to just stick with the Führer and keep him safe. So he talks about a little bit about getting out of Europe, but mostly when he gets down there to Argentina, talks about how they drove all the way. Argentina was desolate back in those days. Roads that were merely ruts, and then some places down dry creek beds, and they finally wound up at the Estancia San Ramon. That is really a key. We were there, and I think I told you when I was talking to the manager. This was in 2008. This guy was about 40 years old, and I always ask nice, soft questions and get the person feeling at ease, and then I ask the tough question without warning. So I'm asking about, the crops and the yakety-yak. And then I said, and please tell me which one of these guest houses is where Hitler and Eva Braun stayed when they arrived here in the winter of 1945. This guy never batted an eye. He just said, I have been ordered that I must not speak about that time. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, it would have been so easy for him to say, well, I don't know, I wasn't even born yet. But no, he said, I have been instructed, I must not speak about that time. And we got so much more evidence that that's where Hitler and Eva Braun stayed. We think it was in July they got there of 45, which is the dead of winter in the southern hemisphere, until they could get over to we believe they went to Bariloche and then caught one of the little packet steamers to get over to Inalco. Now, this part of the book, Volume 5, Hidden Secrets of World War II, goes in great depth about the layout, how people got around, the seaplanes coming and going. And this Hauptsturmfuhrer describes the layout of Inalco, and it's almost exact same as Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco described the compound where he went in 1952. He didn't know it was Inalco. He just described it. And just pretty much that's the place, not Antarctica. A lot of people think secret Nazi base in Antarctica. Well, if there is, give me some information about it. But we have found no hard evidence.
Well, if the German discs were what overflew Washington, D.C. in 1952. They came from somewhere down there. And they
came from somewhere.
The best bet is that there are so many underground caverns and caves and in Antarctica that it could have been there. We don't know.
Oh, yeah, but there sure are.
Those discs were UFOs. ETs don't act like that. They don't fly over Washington, D.C. and hover and hang around. That was a demonstration. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. All right. We're going to pause and come right back. And picture number 5, you'll enjoy this one. Every time I see that guy, I get angry. But
I know. Me too.
10 times as angry. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll be back, Harry and I, in just a few minutes. Stand by.